speaking of falling asleep, I made it through one of Vladdy's two home runs last night. I saw the first one, and I can't even say I had to wake up at 4 like you guys to do a morning show. I'm just too old to stay up late unless I have to stay up
late. We must love Toronto because, A, we have this weather, and, B, a ton of sporting events end at 1 a.m., Dan. So we must love it here. There's got to be a reason we all live here, right?
Mine is because my ancestors foolishly chose to come here rather than going somewhere warmer. But I'll tell you, 3 weeks in a row or 3 road trips in a row where the Blue Jays go west, like go to Oakland on the next road trip, go to Anaheim on the next road trip, go to San Francisco, albeit for just 2 games, one a night game, one a day game. I've never seen that before. It's ridiculous. And it's a real burden on the fan base. You know, like we got to get them back at least into the central time zone.
And you know what? I absolve you from falling asleep, though, because I feel as though when something happens that you've been anticipating and waiting on for so long, there's almost like a rush and a relief where you're like, okay, I can just rest assured now. And maybe that's what overcame you, because that home run was a long, long time coming for fans who have been waiting for Vladdy to get called up since last season.
Yeah, and listen, it was bound to come. I think we talked about it last week. Like the pitch analytics said that, you know, he was getting pitched tougher than anybody in baseball, and I'm glad everybody can kind of take a deep breath. I'm not even going to say he's fine now. I think he was always fine. I don't think it was a slump. I never used the word slump. It was just they were making great pitches, and he got a few calls that didn't go his way, but the ball was coming off his bat hard, even the outs. And look at last night. I haven't been a huge exit velocity guy, but I'm starting to look at it more and more. Both home runs were over 110. The base hit was harder than the home runs, and he hit a foul ball that was 120 miles an hour off the bat. I mean, this guy's hitting the ball like Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton, and nobody else hit the ball in terms of how hard. But yeah, I agree with you. I think for the collective fan base, this is a whole thing, God. But this was going to come. And I'm not saying he's going to hit two home runs a game, you know, today and tomorrow and the next day and beyond that. But he's going to be just fine. If we're looking at Blue Jay problems, not only should he be down the list, he shouldn't be on the list of things we're worried about.
No, and you're right. I never felt like I've heard the word pressing. I thought that was described, and I think it's fair that he just wasn't a guy that was going to do that to a great extent. And we've seen, you can tell when guys are. There's guys, more often, Dan, when they get called up and they're not the prospect they are, especially when they get traded here. I thought Colby Rasmus pressed a lot here early on. Brett Laurie pressed. Travis Snyder pressed. I know these guys aren't the same hitter, but you can tell when guys are really trying to do good things. I think Vladdy was really patient at the plate despite all the outs.
Yeah, I think his patience almost worked against him because, again, guys were just painting like an inch or two off the outside corner. And I don't think he took it because he was fooled. I think he took those pitches because he thought they were balls, but they were getting called strikes. And I don't know, the difference between how umpires call the ball at AAA or AA and the majors. We all know that pitches an inch or two off the outside corner often get called strikes in the big league. So, and that'll be an adjustment that he has to make. I thought I saw him, Greg, maybe once or twice show a tiny bit of frustration on his face, but, you know, like 1% of what your typical prospect would show. Again, because he grew up in the game, and just because he appears to be a quietly confident, laid-back guy who believes in himself, I think he's going to be fine. I don't think he's ever going to get really frustrated. Again, he could take the collar today. He could go 0-for-4 today. We don't know, but he's going to be okay. The numbers are going to be there. He's too good not to hit.
One of the things I was a little disappointed at, Dan, was the fact that when he hit his first home run in the first, he didn't get the silent treatment in the dugout. Everyone was so excited. And I'm just wondering what that says to you about this team and what Vladdy means to them, or what that home run meant to the collective, just because that's a rite of passage getting ignored.
Yes. I would fine the other 24 players. Like they all completely missed the boat on that. And some of the stuff gets goofy. I think the silent treatment is awesome. I love it. I never get the Philly fanatic and the silent treatment are like my two favorite things that I never get tired of. And you're right. I mean, they love him. And, you know, a lot of them knew him before he got here. He played with a bunch of them in the minors. They knew him from the spring. They all like him. But I'm with you, Ashley. I thought that was a major fail. And maybe they just like him so much they couldn't even go through with it. They couldn't resist. and they had to do their thing. I personally am ready to move on from the Teoscar Hernandez sunflower seed thing. I think that's run its course, and we could come up with something new, and maybe you guys could have a contest and give away some tickets or something. But I just think they like him too much that they couldn't even pull off the silent treatment.
And he won't be able to lay out, like, I would be a non Gatorade bath, shaving cream in the face guy when Hazel May's interviewing me, but I don't know really how you don't want to be the stick in the mud. But and Vladdy's already soaked somebody. I think he soaked either Justin. Yeah. So if you're in on, you know, you got to take it if you're dishing it out. So when he hits a walk-off, he's going to get it at times 10 when he ends up doing that.
And you know what? I think he loves it. I mean, even that very first game, I don't know if you guys remember a little foul ball, like, I mean, a dribbler, and it was 15 feet foul. So he just went over, picked it up, and tossed it into the seats. And the crowd went nuts. And all of a sudden, you could see him looking sheepishly towards the dugout, because obviously the guys in the dugout were giving it to him, like, oh, he's so good that, you know, just when he picks up a foul ball, they go crazy. That's how much they like the kid. There could be some jealousy here. Really could be some jealousy here, and I don't think we've seen any evidence of that at all because he's such a likable kid.
Dan Schulman, our guest, a lot of talk about Madison Bumgarner and maybe even the Dodgers being in on acquiring him. I know how people would feel about that if you're the Giants, but you also are so appreciative, big part of three World Series, and you do want to reset. There's a danger in any league, any of the four pro sports leagues, when you hang on to an asset for emotional reasons. Could you see the Dodgers in on a Madison Bumgarner deal?
I can't see the Giants doing that. I can see the Dodgers wanting to do that, but and I know the Yankees and Red Sox on rare occasions have made trades. I can't see the Giants trading him to the Dodgers. I think he will get traded. I mean, the Giants are not a good team, and I know the Dodgers are not on the no-trade list. What Bumgarner did was he strategically put teams on his no-trade list that he thinks the Giants might trade him to, just so he can control the situation a little bit more. Oh, yeah, you want to trade me to St. Louis? Okay, but I need a new contract, or I need an extension, or whatever I need is what I need. He didn't put the Dodgers on the list because I think he knows the Giants wouldn't trade him to the Dodgers. It would be an unbelievable story, but I just don't see it.
One other quickie on him. So he is a free agent. He's never made more than $12 million on a season. Is he is he in that danger of never really getting to cash in on his talent, like a Sale, like a Verlander? It's risky if someone's going to pop him a $22, $25 million AAV next year. I don't know the teams are going to do that. He's dropped off a little bit.
Yeah, he signed, relatively speaking, we should all be so unlucky. He signed, relatively speaking, a team-friendly deal with the Giants with a couple of extensions. And so you're right. He has never made close to what he has been worth for the Giants. But I'm with you. His stuff is not quite what it was. He's not quite the pitcher he used to be. And he'll get a good deal. I don't think he's going to be in a Dallas Keuchel situation where he's sitting out a year because he doesn't like the deal. But in terms of, you know, that five-year, $150 million deal that we've seen some of the elite pitchers, I think he might have missed his window by a year or two. I mean, he'll still get, I think, multiple years, and I still see him getting a really good contract, but I don't think he's ever going to make the amount of money that he earned for the San Francisco Giants.
We have about 45 seconds. What do you think happens with Keuchel? I saw yesterday the Rays might be in on him. What transpires here? This is weird one.
Yeah, at this point, nothing happens before the draft because if you sign him before the draft, you lose a draft pick. And at this point, for 3 weeks, I don't think teams are going to do that. So I think teams are interested, but he has kind of put his foot down and saying, I want to get what I feel I'm worth. If it's me, if I can't get what I'm worth, I'm going to get the best deal I can get and go out and pitch. But, you know, to each his own. He's obviously decided that, you know, the principle is important enough to him. I got to believe that both he and Kimbrel, who's still out there too, will be signed. They're not going to like the deals, but if you want to rebuild, you're not going to rebuild your value by not pitching. Go out and pitch and rebuild your value. And if it were me, I would take a deal, even if it's less than I think I'm worth, to go out and pitch for a winner. Tampa Bay would be a great spot for him. But, you know, obviously Kimbrel and Keuchel are very determined to get what they feel they are worth, but I don't think they're going to get it.